to the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. Today we are three. We're missing an Alex, but we have Jennifer and two Natalies on the line, myself included, as one of said Natalies. How are you gals?
Great.
Feeling better.
I guess it'd be better.
Yeah, you guys are liars. Sick. You're not great. You both have been sick, poor thing. Jennifer, you sound like you got a frog in your throat.
I'm going through puberty.
Just kidding.
And sadly enough, this is the best I've sounded all week.
Yeah, when you answered the phone, you had your sexy Kathleen Turner voice on.
Yeah, you can do some role playing with these little illnesses you get.
If you felt up to it. Right?
You have a lot more energy when you're sick than I do.
Seriously.
No, I just had a cup of coffee, a glass of tea. I have like four drinks in front of me. Orange juice, staying hydrated.
Well, that's good. I always do the Puerto Rican way and have a tea with a ton of rum in it. A hot tea with some rum. So how did you get sick? Your nanny got you sick or?
Actually, no. This was a gift from our birthday, Elle's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. I did see quite a few little snotty noses running around.
Yeah. What were you saying, Natalie?
I was going to say it might have been us, but I think you guys got sick too quickly for it to have been us.
I don't think it was from you.
I don't know.
Let's blame Reese. No. It was Reese's fault.
And to be honest, I do not think it was Reese either. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I didn't see who all had runny noses. I wasn't writing down their names so I could call their parents later. It happens, you know, and it could have been someone who picked something up on the way over even, you know, maybe they stopped at a playground or something and played, and then they played on one of Elle's toys, because I didn't really see symptoms show up until about 2 days later. And my husband and Elle experienced them first, excuse me, and I felt pretty fine. And Tom's like, I don't understand why people would bring their kids sick to a party, but we weren't sure. I'm not saying it was anybody that we knew who was sick. You know, we were just saying it had to happen at the party. So, and I was like, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It happens. Kids have, you know, who knows where they pick these things up at. And then 5 days later, I get it. And I'm finally agreeing with him, I guess. But, I mean, you really don't know. I mean, we all have kids. We don't know when something is something bigger. And honestly, after talking to all my girlfriends, no one's really had the symptoms that we've had. So who knows where we've gotten it. But the thing is that it's just taking a little while to get over. And we just went on a trip to Vegas this past weekend, the weekend before last. So before we had headed out, it didn't seem like it was that bad. And then when we got there, both of us lost our voices. I mean, it could have been from our raging partying. I don't know. Or, you know, the alcohol, which I think dehydrates you and strains your vocal cords even more. So by the time we left on Sunday, we were completely hoarse. And on Saturday night, we ended up calling it an early night for Vegas and went home right after dinner. And unfortunately, my husband got a little food poisoning somehow that night. And so he woke up at 3 a.m. over the toilet.
Oh, you guys, poor guys.
I know. I'm so weak.
You know, it sounds like it was a sad trip, but it was awesome. It was so much fun. And I've heard so many horror stories about Vegas and, oh, you know, why do you want to go there? Because I've never been to Vegas.
You haven't? So
I hadn't, no.
Can you believe that?
No. Oh, that's so interesting. Because, you know, anyone who listens to this podcast on the East Coast may think that that's pretty normal. But on the West Coast, it's really common to go to Vegas as a little jaunt. So, yeah. Had Tom been to Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been countless times.
Oh, okay.
Times he probably can't even remember he's been to Vegas.
Of course he has.
But surprisingly, this was a very different trip than he's ever taken to Vegas, because he's used to being rushed from either one place to the other or focused solely on partying, celebrating The Bachelor, whatever. So he hadn't really done the things that we were doing. And it was fun for both of us. And we had, you know, flirting going on, and I got to actually dry my hair and put eyeliner on without watching the side of me. So it was fun, and we had a nice dinner, and we had drinks, and we did dancing, and it was awesome. I'm so happy we decided to go just to do it.
Was it a belated anniversary trip?
No, we actually did the anniversary. We took Elle with us and we did that in Monterey. But I got a letter in the mail from the Wynn with an awesome deal. And I told Tom about it and he's like, well, let's do it. Let's go. And I was like, okay. And so we debated for a very long time over what flights to take and what time we should come home on Sunday, because we were pretty sure we were going to be wanting to hop on that 6 a.m. flight and get home to our baby girl, which we were missing her, but we, you know, we trust her grandma and grandpa. And so we felt really good about leaving her with them. And turns out the time we ended up leaving, like, kind of after one. So we gave us some time, you know, to get up that morning, hang out by the pool, do some fun stuff. We gambled. I would totally recommend, you know, the non-baby trip. I felt good because she was at a good age. I don't know if I could do it whenever you were able to do it, Natalie, for your honeymoon, whenever she was, what, 3 months?
Miles was 6 months, yeah.
Six months.
And it was hard. When I read this post, I thought about that. And I literally just rushed back to him, and we had traffic on the way back. And he had just gone down to sleep by the time I ran in the house, and he was not quite asleep, so I woke him up. And I still think I want to cry when I think about the look on his face where he's like, is that really my mommy? I mean, I was just like, I felt like I couldn't breathe without him for a while. Like, I just didn't know what to do with myself, you know. And we had a really nice time, but the last 2 days were really hard on me. And it was hard on the both of us. You know, Clayton took my cell phone away because I was obsessively texting, and, you know, it wasn't smooth. It's not hard to just all, or it's not easy to just all of a sudden not be a mom and enjoy yourself. You know, like, my sister-in-law was over our house not too long ago, and her baby was asleep, and she's like, I don't know what to do with myself without a baby in our arms. And we all feel like that sometimes, like, when you're just kind of roaming around without a kid when you're so used to one, it's hard on you.
Yeah, I was thinking 8 days would be tough. Two days I could handle. Even coming back after 2 days, I went to get my daughter and his grandparents were at a little garden party, and I went over to get her, and just the look on her face even 2 days after she hadn't seen me was like, who are you? And I'm like, what are you? I felt like she almost didn't recognize me. You know, she just kind of went to me like, oh, yeah, okay. Of course, you know, then she started
smiling.
Like, where's
Granny?
Exactly. So I wasn't really sure what to expect on that. And Natalie, have you taken any, like, extended time away from Dominic?
We did one overnight trip for my 30th birthday. Just, we were gone less than 24 hours. So that's the only one that we've done so far. Not really because we don't think we can handle it, but just because it just hasn't happened. Also, we've had, you know, you guys have heard all the woes of our sleep issues, and we haven't wanted to leave him overnight with somebody who's going to have to get up with him in the middle of the night.
Is he still waking up?
Well, actually, about a month ago, he started, because he was just doing, like an early morning wake up, like a 5 a.m. We'd give him a little bit of a bottle and he'd go back to sleep. So it wasn't so bad, but we didn't want to leave his mom doing that. And he'd been doing that for, you know, 8 months or something. So, it definitely wasn't bad. But, you know, it was still a wake up, and it was still just kind of, it was time to get rid of it. So we got rid of it. It was great. He was sleeping from 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. for like 2 weeks, and then he got sick. So now we're back to him waking up like just before 6, and we're trying to decide if this morning we tried to let him cry it out and it didn't work. And so we're working on getting that to go away again. But we had it. But I didn't want to post about it because I didn't want to jinx it, and it got jinxed anyway. So I'm screwed.
Oh, poor little man.
You'll get it back.
Someday.
Yeah. So I was just really happy that we were spontaneous about this, because we aren't that spontaneous anymore. So, and there's been quite a lifestyle change, as you all ladies know, you know, not only from having a baby, but when you move to the burbs, it's a bit of a change when you're used to, you know, the convenience of walking out your door and all that stuff. So it was a lot of fun, but we were really happy to be home with her. We were happy to know that, you know, she's okay without us when we're, if we have to get away for a little bit.
Yeah. Last week I was supposed to meet some girlfriends in Manhattan for dinner, and it was an 8:30 dinner. And I was like, 8:30? I have my dinner 5:30. What am I going to wait? And I literally prepped Clayton, you know, weeks in advance, saying I'm going to do this thing on October 11th with my girlfriends. He's like, yeah, okay. And I made it so that Miles would already have been down for the night. And, you know, and then when it came up to it, it was like cold. And I'm like, am I really going to take the train into Manhattan and have dinner at 8:30? And I was like, forget it. And I just wasn't feeling up to it. So, like, I really did psych myself out for this for weeks and then just didn't go. Whereas before, I would have been in a, you know, some super cute little heels in flagging a taxi not too long ago. It seems like it was so long ago, though.
Mm-hmm. It would just have been so easy.
But yeah. So remember that spirits and booze party we all used to go to? I was thinking about that for Halloween, man. Too.
Suede.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We used to hit the club in the city. And it was just like, it was like one of those like sweaty sardine packed clubs, but then add like weird costumes on top of it. So like people wore shower curtains and like it was interesting. It was fun. But I'm glad we're past that stage. I miss getting dressed up in like cute little sexy outfits like Jennifer had on in Las Vegas and going out to dinner and drinks and that sort of thing, but I don't miss the club.
Yeah. Right. And Halloween can be a little stressful. Actually, it's kind of stressful now because here I am, still don't have a costume for Elle. I saw that, I think, Natalie Morris, you did a little pre-Halloween picture of Miles. Is he a lion?
I had to make sure it fit. Yeah, well, because he can growl. He makes his cute little
growl. Oh, so cute.
And so I decided he had to be a lion in order to match the growl. It's really cute. Yeah.
So cute. So I'm the one who posted about Halloween 2 months ago or something like that, and I do not have a costume still. And I don't have a
sheet
costume.
Over, cut some eyes in it. Yeah.
She can be a ghost.
Yeah. So, and then on top of that, we're going to a little costume party next weekend for a birthday. And I think they're having prizes for the whole complete family Halloween costume. So now I'm stressing over how do I find a non-sexy mom costume without feeling like a mom?
I know. It's like you'll just throw on some pajamas and be a prisoner or something.
You could do.
You have to go from one extreme.
Just some leggings underneath it, or something,
or a T-shirt underneath it. I can't have all that cleavage hanging out.
Natalie, shall we discuss your fire crotch? Do you still have that? That's not for a parenting podcast.
No, it is
we
not.
We should post some old pictures on Mommy Beta just to give you a peek at our past lives.
I know. Yeah. I went with midriff showing as Daisy Duke. Can you believe that?
Oh, you were hot Daisy Duke. I think you were Daisy Duke a couple years in a row, though. That's kind of cheating.
No, I wasn't. I think I was Lara Croft 2 years in a row. Daisy Duke amazing. Was
I was a pirate 2 years in a row.
Yeah, Jennifer repurposed. Whatever.
I think it's...
Hey, you repurposed one of my costumes. What was that?
Did I?
Goldilocks? Goldilocks.
Oh, I think I was Goldilocks 1 year. I borrowed that from you. My favorite Jennifer costume was Sunny and Cher.
Oh, I love
that. That was good. That was good.
That's a pretty fun wig. I would like to reuse that. I was thinking of doing Elvira or Johnny Cash and June Carter.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I was thinking of doing The Incredibles for all of us, but then, you know, if we decided to all dress up, but Clayton really doesn't want to. He's like, I'm not doing
what?
It. He doesn't want
to
do it.
I would think he loves to dress up in costume.
He
superhero
kind of does,
costume.
But I don't know. Like, they have this little, in our downtown area, they have a little Halloween parade, and then they shut up down all the streets, and you can trick-or-treat in the stores on that day. So I thought we'd just let him do that, and we would go with him, but I thought, should we dress up too? Will all the other parents be dressed up? I don't know. But if he's a lion, maybe I'll be Dorothy and, you know, Clayton.
Oh, that would be
scarecrow.
Cute.
That would be super cute.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to some of the other things we talked about on the blog this week. Jennifer posted about some of the recent recommendations from the AAP, including, of course, breastfeeding. But no TV was one of them. And what were some of the other ones? Let's see.
The TV bumpers. Was the bumpers. Yeah, the bumpers are hitting the mainstream news and TV. And I agree with Natalie Gaffori on this, on her comment on the blog. It's really, we've been talking about this for a pretty long time. And we all realize that we shouldn't let our kids sit in front of the TV all day. Even as adults, we shouldn't have the TV on all day. behind us. But they're not saying that they have any studies on that it actually hurts kids, but or delays. I think they may have said that it delays language development because they're not speaking.
If it's excessive, yeah, I think that was the finding. If it's excessive,
good point. So they didn't say anything about only letting them watch every, you know, about half an hour every couple of days or something like that. Which the shows we're letting our kids watch, they're singing and dancing and telling them not to bite their friends and all this stuff. So I can't imagine that it's really going to encourage kids to bully or say profanity or anything like that. So,
yeah, I think that if you're careful about your programming, I wrote a thing once that said, you don't just watch TV, you watch a show. So you don't just put the TV on in the background. You choose what your child is watching, and you choose what length of time your child is going to be watching that thing. And, you know, I really do think Dominic learns from the TV. I mean, he's 18 months now, so he's kind of getting toward that 2-year mark, but you know, he knows all the Sesame Street characters, and I didn't teach him that. Like, he learned that. He figured out that Elmo is Elmo, and Grover is Grover, and Oscar is Oscar. You know, like, I don't expect him to become a genius. You know, I don't believe in the whole baby Einstein principle. But I really do think that they can learn, that they are capable of learning from the TV, at least at 18 months, because I see him doing it.
And I agree with that. I mean, Elle doesn't see other kids on a regular basis, so I actually like for her to see kids a little older than her walking around, dancing, doing all that stuff. And with my sister's triplets, who are 4 now, their vocabulary of animals is much larger than mine. Because I think if they're watching Dora or whatever those shows are, and they actually speak some Spanish too. And unlike my daughter, they don't have Hispanic nanny speaking Spanish to them. They're picking it up on TV. So they've learned a few of those things.
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. At first I wanted to be, you know, a little bit more strict about it, but we only have news on pretty much all the time. So poor Miles has to learn about the death of Omar Gaddafi.
Oh, no.
You know, and so then I was like, well, maybe we just shouldn't keep this on quite as much when we're home. But when we do actually put on programming for him to use, he does like Sesame Street, and it's more of a video that he can dance around to. But I agree. I mean, you don't want to just keep it on all day as background noise. That's one of my big pet peeves, is to just have a TV on whenever you're in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just really don't like being in households like that, and I don't like living like that. And we had some company this week, and we just sort of kept the TV on in background noise, you know, because we had people coming in and out of the living room, and my sister-in-law was nursing and stuff, and I was just kind of casually keeping an eye on daytime TV, and it's terrible. Like, you know,
yeah.
Daytime TV and daytime talk shows, that's not the kind of stuff I want my son listening to as he grows up. And, you know, this vitamin will help you prevent crow's feet. And
Dr. Phil? Oh, my God.
No, it was Dr. Oz. They had some inflatable lungs and stuff. And I was like, just yelling at, and no one else was paying attention, only me. So I'm not capable of having background noise that I'm not paying attention to. So I'm just yelling like, this is crap. And no one else is paying attention. But, you know, I think about this a lot when it comes to iPad, though, because he does like to select a few videos that he wants to watch, and mostly it's for the songs. And so if I'm doing something and I need him to, like, I'm cooking something and I need him to stay away because it's hot, I'll hand him what he calls Pad-Pad, which is iPad. And, you know, he'll look for his Mickey Mouse Clubhouse video, and he'll play it, and he'll sing along. And I'm like, am I a crap parent because I'm using this as a bit of a babysitter? It's a 2-minute video, and he plays it over and over and over and over again. And then he's done. You know, I'm not doing it for an hour. I'm doing it for, like, 20 minutes or something. But that is 20 minutes of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Come inside. I love that song.
It's fun inside. That song will never leave my head. I'm convinced it will be in my head till I'm 80.
It probably will. So I remembered it the first time I heard the triplets play it, and there's like, hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. That's also a
Did you know that that's They Might Be Giants as well? The Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Yeah, so we have all of the They Might Be Giants children stuff. He can't get enough of that. So
it's the Mommy Beta karaoke hour.
I know.
For kids' songs.
I know. But I was also interested in this piece about bumpers. It says no bumpers whatsoever ever now is the new guidelines. But you say you have them on. And we had them on for a little bit because he would poke his arms and his legs out of the crib and then get stuck. And so I decided I needed them, but then I took them off after. We didn't have them when he was really, really little is when he started to move. Why do you have yours on, Jen?
I have mine on. Well, now I have mine on. I've kept them on because, like you, she likes to bang her head around. When she gets upset, she'll start crying and throw herself down on the crib. So I don't want her hitting her head wherever, you know, I can't protect the entire crib. But I try, to do what I can. Before, maybe the next time around, I won't have them on when she's so young. But I think once... This is my personal choice that I feel that she's comfortable and that she can move around and move her head and that kind of thing, that I'm okay with them being there. But at the point earlier in her life where she couldn't necessarily do that, I guess it could be a worrisome. And they're saying that they're putting it out there more now because in the past when they did studies, there were other things involved, like the sleeping on the stomach. But there are also other factors that may play into, you know, the SIDS risk, like parents putting infant positioners in their cribs. And now they're saying don't do that. Or they had been for some time. And, you know, even the loveys or anything like that, they're saying don't put any of that in the crib or dolls or toys, as we all know.
Until 6 months, it says?
I'm not sure the exact age. Is there an age that they mention?
I don't know. I mean, we did it. We waited until, you know, he could take things out of his way. You know, like it was one day he was crawling around the floor and then a doll was in front of his way that he went, you know, in his path and he just smacked it away. And I was like, okay, he's going to know how to get things out of his way if he needs to. I think I only had the bumpers up between about 6 and 8 months. And then he just stopped, you know.
J-Lo, with your bumpers, are you worried about her using them as a little stepladder to climb out of the crib?
She actually hasn't done that. So, no. But I can imagine some babies would. But her crib has been put at the lowest setting since we needed to move it the first time.
Smart. Wish we would have done that.
And I was worried that it would be hard to bend up. No, it's fine. Not difficult at all. It would be so annoying to have to lower that thing every time I felt nervous. So, yeah, she's been at the bottom since she could stand up in the crib. So I don't think she could even if she did, they kind of smushed down, and I don't think it would give her enough of a...
Yeah, Miles did that. I mean, he stepped on it, but they're so, you know, it's like standing on a towel. That's not going to give you any levitation at all, or elevation, rather, not levitation. Did you know my son could fly?
He's the David Blaine of, is that the guy?
He's like, no nap, I'm just going Prodigy. To levitate out of you.
Yeah, and the one thing I do get concerned about is keeping them tied extra tight. I do make sure that they are really tight and she can't get under them. She actually likes to sleep very close to them. I don't know why, but she does. Maybe they feel soft or something. Like two of the people we had comment on the blog, we have the Angel Care monitor. Mm-hmm. And we got that before she was born, because I wanted to feel like I had some control over or was alerted if something had gone on or was going on. And I'm happy about that decision. I wish they would just make an Angel Care monitor with a video, and of course it has gone off. Typically whenever she is moved too far away from the little pad that goes under the center of the bottom of the mattress.
This monitor alerts you if it's not.
So there. If the baby, if there's no movement from the baby for, I think, 15 seconds, the monitor will beep.
Uh-huh.
Like, so meaning, like, it's the movement is so small, it's basically, you know,
if they're breathing. It's detecting breathing then?
Yes, it's detecting breathing. So it'll beep. And that's sort of a warning beep. And if, you know, another 10 seconds go by and nothing happens, it'll beep again. Uh-huh. And then after that, it'll go off. and it's gone off and it's kind of freaked me out, but it makes me feel better. And sometimes when I get to the point of, or it's gotten to the point where it's gone off a few times, it's been because of our settings. But I'm happy we got the sensor monitor. It also makes me feel better. This is really strange because maybe I'm just paranoid, but say if a stranger were to come in my house and take my daughter,
yeah,
that the monitor would know that there was not a baby there and it would go off.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, that baby Lisa thing has us all freaked out about, you know, kids
really
being taken in their rooms. Although that story, you know, I'm not sure what to make of it, but, you know, I think mm-hmm. I did actually read about this kind of monitor when I was pregnant. I'm like, will that make me crazy? Will I constantly be checking it? You know, and if it malfunctions, then am I going to be out of bed all the time? And then, you know, daddy's going to be screaming like, knock it off. This monitor is going in the trash.
But well, it worked, no, we right? never we never reached that point. We really we like it. We're happy with it. I would use it for the next child. I wouldn't say it's for everyone. It could drive you crazy. I don't depend on it. I'm not saying it's going to completely protect my child 100%, but it makes me feel better, and that's why we have it.
Okay. Well, maybe we should move.
And I have another thing that I'll mention. I'm looking into it. I was sent an email yesterday by a company of a device that you clip onto a baby's diaper that detects breathing. And it supposedly was developed to help prevent SIDS even more. And I guess after 15 seconds, if it doesn't detect a breathing movement from your baby, from the clip on its diaper, that it will tap the baby or something like that. It's supposed to
vibrate.
Okay. So it does this movement, it says, that they do in the NICU. What do they call the NI? The
NICU.
Infant? NICU.
The NICU.
Yeah.
Yes, the NICU. So that they do this movement that they do for CPR in the NICU. I have no idea how this little bitty thing does that, but maybe it just pushes at your tummy or something. And then if that doesn't do anything, then it goes off or something.
Hmm.
I need to look into it a little more. I don't think I would clip it on my baby's diaper, but it's something interesting that's out there.
Well, yeah, that raises a few questions, but without noting anything about it, I'll keep those questions to myself. Before we move on, let's thank our show sponsor, Gazelle.com. We have a lot to be thankful for from them. They are a company that allows you to sell your used electronics over the internet. So you look around your house, you say, oh, here's a camera or a cell phone that we're not using, but you don't feel like selling it on Craigslist and you don't want to put it on eBay, put it on Gazelle. What will happen is they'll tell you the value of your device and they'll help you ship it. They'll either print you out a shipping label or they'll send you a box. And then when you ship that in and it is in the condition that you say it is, they'll give you the value of that device either by PayPal, by sending you a check, or by giving you the value of that item plus 5% more, actually, if you use Amazon. It's a really great way to turn your assets that are just sitting around your house depreciating into cash that is appreciating if you use it wisely. So check out Gazelle.com. Tell them that you learned about them from the Mommy Beta podcast. Look around your house. Make some money. The holidays are coming, so you might as well find a way to get some extra cash because who doesn't want extra cash? Don't raise your hand because we can't see you. Thank you so much to Gazelle.com. We thank them for their support of the Mommy Beta podcast. Let's move on to mommy missed connections. That's what Natalie has been talking about. And we've talked about that before on this show about how to make mommy friends. And it's something I continue to sort of fail at. But I really liked this missed connection idea that that Natalie had posted. You didn't post this, did you?
No, I didn't. So just a little bit of background for those of you who don't know about missed connections. Craigslist is amazing. And there's this section where if you like see somebody on the bus that you think is cute, but you didn't talk to them, you can post like, you know, we were on the 30X this morning and you were blonde and you were listening to your iPod and blah, 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 blah. And I'd love to take you to dinner. So Jennifer actually connected with her husband this way, but that's a whole nother story. So I had this encounter at the park the other day. Actually, my husband and I were both there, and we met this other husband and wife who were just like really nice. Like Sean doesn't necessarily click with other daddies that often. I don't know what it is, but this guy just really, you know, they were laughing and they were joking.
Basically.
Yeah, you know, he's a total jerk. Anyway, he really liked this guy. And I thought that was kind of cute. And then a couple minutes later, I kind of started talking to the mom, and she was super nice. And they had a little boy about Dominic's age. And I thought, oh, you know, they seem really nice. You know, it'd be nice to have like a couple that's like mommy friends that, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, because we have a few that couples that have kids that we've known from, you know, other things like you guys, and then some of Sean's college friends and that sort of thing. But this would be kind of like our whole like new little universe. So I thought, okay, well, you know, that might be fun. But you know, I didn't get up the nerve to give her a card, or didn't, you know, I didn't do anything to make that happen. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I should post one of these mommy misconnections, but I didn't do it. I chickened out. But the, you know, the idea is that, you know, how do we expand our circles of friends, and you know, is this a wise way to do it? Would you be creeped out if someone posted a mommy misconnection about you? What do you think, girls?
I'll let Jennifer respond. She's the misconnection.
I don't think I would see it.
I know. That was the other thing. I don't think I would see it either, because I'm not on misconnections anymore.
Right. And I wouldn't be looking for women for women. No, I'm not on there anyway, but
it's true. Just saying,
maybe you should create a mommy misconnections board or something. Yeah. I would probably, if someone forwarded to me, I would probably be kind of creeped out, you know?
Creeped out when I sent you the misconnection from Tom?
No, that's completely different. It's not other crazy mom stalking me on Craigslist. I'm kidding. No, I would just hope for another fate encounter at the playground.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to make sure I go there a lot. I think they're new to town, so we'll see. Hopefully she's not listening to this and thinks I'm a crazy person.
She'd be flattered. No, I would be completely flattered, you know, if I had felt like another mom I had met. It hit it off with me, and I just moved to town, and I'm like, great, I can actually have a, just like what happened in San Francisco, Natalie, when I
met
you at work, and you're like, I love your shoes, and I'm like, thanks, and you're like, you want to go to lunch, and I'm like, sure.
We didn't even need this connection, so I picked up on you right in the office.
But office. It's funny that going out with girls can be like a first date. My sister-in-law was talking about one of her bridesmaids that way, that when they went out, it felt like a first date, like, oh, we're hitting it off. This is working. This is nice to have a friend, because I think we want that connection from women just as much as we want that in our romantic life. It's important. At least most people do.
It definitely is. And it's a lot harder to find that connection. It's not that it's harder. It's easier to talk to a guy than to, you know, talk to a girl that you're trying to be friends with. Because, you know, if you were before, when I was single, trying to talk to a guy, there's a reason you're doing that, you know. But if you talk to a girl, she might think you're trying to pick up on her, or I don't know. One of my other mommy friends and I were at the Academy of Science in the city, and we were in the play area, and our kids were all running about, and there were plenty of moms there. And I talked to quite a few who were saying, oh, it's our first time here too. And so it was really nice to meet a lot of other new moms. But there was one other mom that was talking to my friend that was there, and she picked up on her super fast. Basically, within 5 minutes of the conversation, she's like, oh, we should get together. Let me get your email and all
and
this stuff.
Like, I wanted to ask for her phone number.
No, not my friend. The other girl was asking my friend for her email.
Oh, like, back off. She's my friend.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it was funny because my friend never gave it to her, and the other woman seemed really nice and stuff. But after the fact, I was teasing my friend about, you know, getting picked up on by another mommy friend. And she said, well, she just moved in really fast. I don't know if I was ready for that. So I guess timing is important too. You don't want to just be talking to someone for 5 minutes and then they think you have no other mommy friends.
That's true. You don't want to seem desperate. And that's one of the reasons why I think those calling cards that you posted out about are kind of a neat idea, because it's kind of awkward to be like, can I have your phone number, and like put it into your phone? Like, that just seems like an awkward exchange. But if you can just like hand them a card on your way out of the park, like, oh, you know, like, let's get together sometime. And then you put it on their core, and if they want to, they can. And because you don't want them to be like, no, I don't want to give you my phone number, sorry.
Right. Well,
and then you see them at the park the next day, and you're like, oh, it's you. We're not friends. I forgot we're not friends.
And is the 3-day rule applied to mommy friends too? new mommy friends?
I think you should wait a little bit. I don't think you should like go home and email 5 minutes later. I think that would be a little too much.
But I think it really depends. You know, my neighbor across the street, I gave her an invitation to Miles' birthday party and I had my email address on it. And then she emailed me the next day and said, you know, we go to the zoo a lot if you guys want to come, and also here's some other resources you might want to know about. And I was like, she's amazing. And then she has sometimes mommy outings with, there's three other women on our block around our age. And we went out last week, for just, you know, drinks and some appetizers. And I felt really, really grateful that these women had sort of come to me and I didn't have to go after them. So I think it depends on the situation. Like, if you have something to invite them to that's pressing, I'd say go ahead. But you have to think about what would you think of that person, too. Like, would you think this person's really desperate? Or maybe they're new to town and they are desperate and that's okay. But if they've been there for a while and they don't have other friends, maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know.
It's tough. It's complicated. We should put together the roles of the new mommy initiate. I don't know. What is that? Friendships.
Yeah. There should be a little guidebook. Well, maybe we should work on that.
And there's what no is it real like the term dating for it? Like bromance? Like, I don't know. Mom-mance? Well,
that just sounds weird.
I think
weird.
It's called play dating.
Play dating. Yeah.
I was reading in Parenting Magazine and they were saying it's called dating for a reason. Play dating.
I suppose. Well, at least we have each other virtually. So if we make no other friends, we still have this podcast. Well, you should send your suggestions for making mommy friends, because it's hard out there for a mommy on the playground.
It is. We're not at the bars, you know, hanging out. The libraries, I think, Natalie, before you've been there quite a bit. Have you met any new moms at the library?
Yeah, I haven't actually been to the library for a while. I met a couple, but nobody that I really want to, or that I have hung out with.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we're very picky and in-demand women, in case you didn't already know. So
our time is precious. We don't get out of the house that much.
It is precious. And your time is precious, too. So we won't take up much more of it talking about the things that we've been blogging about, because there's so much. And I'll save my stuff for next week, because I just did some product reviews. And I have a few more products that I want to write about coming up in the next week. So make sure you go there regularly to mommybeta.com. We also have some cool things we're giving away, like this baby face band to help you identify your child's sippy cup on the playground. Another fun thing. So we like to wrap up the podcast with a little victory, to something that we're celebrating. Natalie, you want to take it this week?
Yes, I do. So it was super cute. Last night, we went out to dinner. We were at kind of like a old-fashioned burger joint kind of place. And we were sitting in a booth, and Nick was sitting next to my husband. And, you know, we were feeding him little pieces of our burgers and, you know, French fries and that sort of thing. And I handed him a French fry, and he took it, and he looked at me, and he went, "Thank you, Mommy." It was the cutest thing.
It was like a nice little man.
Yeah, it was just because we've been working on please a lot, but we haven't really been working on thank you. You know, I just say it when we're doing the exchange, but I hadn't ever taught him to say it. And I had heard him say it once or twice before, but this was the first time it was like used completely in context, used like the timing was perfect. He like enunciated it. It was amazing. I cried. I was like, that is the sweetest. And he just looked so cute. This really cute outfit on yesterday. And he just looked so cute. And he was so grown up. And it was just like this moment of, oh, you are a sweet, sweet little boy.
Aww. Yeah. Such a good little boy. And little so moment. Smart.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Yay.
Well, I have to run, ladies. Duty calls. Today is actually also our first wedding anniversary and a bunch
Congratulations.
So thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you ring in anytime. You can email mb@mommybeta.com or tweet us @mommybeta or just find us at mommybeta.com. Thanks, ladies.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. How did you grow so big, oh? bright. Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you.